This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
From KMOX Sports, this is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
What a time to be alive. All the teams are playing. We have one in the playoffs. We have one going for a sweep. It is a special time in St. Louis, without a doubt. Heading downtown today, already see Blues fans walking around. Saw some Jets fans as well wearing their jerseys. Jets are up 2-1 in this series. But the Blues fans are already down here, so come on downtown and get your parking spot. Get yourself a cocktail or a Bloody Mary, whatever you got going on, and get in here, as the Cardinals will be playing down the road against the Brewers. They'll take you as well as they go for a sweep. 1:15 start for the Cardinals, 12:20 probably, 12:15, 12:20, by the time the Blues and Jets face off with the puck drop at that time. The Jets lead the series 2-1, but they got shellacked on Thursday by the Blues, 7-2. We'll see if St. Louis can do the same. Send this thing back to Winnipeg in a 2-2 series. If you go back, obviously, to Winnipeg and they're up 3-1, you're in deep trouble. So there's another layer on top of this. You had to win Game 3, and in my estimation, you have to win Game 4. Get this thing back to 2-2 and get yourself back in business. We know for sure that the Blues have the ability to score. We saw that in Game 3. They also have the ability to play rough. They were hitting left and right, whether they had the puck or didn't have the puck. I mean, they're absolutely slamming into the Jets. I mean, it was really something to watch as the Blues picked up the win in Game 3. Tonight, we'll be finding out where they're headed, a 3-1 or 2-2 in a best-of-seven series, and perhaps on the path once again to knocking off the Jets, as they did in 2019. The NHL playoffs have been interesting. I mean, you look at all these games right now, there is not one sweep among them in all of these series. Yesterday in the NHL, Tampa Bay down 0-2, goes to Florida, takes on the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, and hands it to them. 5-1 was the final in that one. In the East also, it was Ottawa holding off Toronto. Toronto was up 3-0 going into that game, and the Sens win in overtime. 4-3 was the final in that one. David Perron had a goal in that game, by the way. Jake Sanderson had the OT winner. Ivan Barbashev with the game winner for the Vegas Golden Knights as they beat Minnesota 4-3 on the road. That series is tied at 2 as Barbie gets his second of the playoffs. And the Colorado Avalanche just hand it to Dallas. 4-0 is the final in that one. And the Avs, even that series, at 2 games apiece. So here are the games today. You got the Blues and the Jets at noon. You have Carolina at New Jersey at 2:30. The Canes are up 2-1 in that series. Washington at Montreal at 5:30 with the Caps up 2-1. And L.A. late tonight. Man, hockey fans just have it good today, don't they? 8:30 face-off tonight. L.A. at Edmonton with the Kings up 2-1 in that series. Meantime, in St. Louis, the Cardinals taking on the Brewers, and this is what happened yesterday.
The one strike pitch. Arenado hits it out of here. That's a Redbird winner. A home run. Fair down the left field line. Nolan Arenado's third home run of the year ends the game, and they light up the fireworks in downtown St. Louis. It's a team meeting at home plate. As Arenado touches the plate, he's mobbed, and the Cardinals celebrate their second straight one-run victory, winning today 6-5.
John Rooney with the call on KMOX. Those of you who are watching the video stream are probably like, wait a minute, I can't hear that. You can't play something that I can't hear. Only the radio audience got to hear that. And guess what? We're going to play it again. It was that good. John Rooney, this is just for you, YouTubers. Here it is.
The one strike pitch. Arenado hits it out of here. That's a Redbird winner. A home run. Fair down the left field line. Nolan Arenado's third home run of the year ends the game, and they light up the fireworks in downtown St. Louis. It's a team meeting at home plate. As Arenado touches the plate, he's mobbed, and the Cardinals celebrate their second straight one-run victory, winning today 6-5.
See, the thing is, Drew Young, I just don't care. I'll play the thing three times. I don't care. I will. Actually, I will later in the show play it again. But what a great call by John Rooney. So everybody got to hear it there. As John Rooney and the Cardinals broadcast just describes it perfectly as the Cardinals get the win 6-5. But remember now, there's another side to this game. They did blow a 5-0 lead. And that is a bit of a concern. We'll see how the Cardinals handle that moving forward. But Sonny Gray gave him a good enough start for sure. He went 6 innings and was pretty solid. But, you know, things started to get away a little bit, let him back into the game just a touch. And then, of course, they get themselves in trouble. And a 2-run homer by Jackson Churio off Ryan Helsley, of all people, ties the game. And then the Cardinals untie it in the bottom of the ninth on the home run by Nolan Arenado. Eric Fetty takes the ball today. 1:15 first pitch for Fetty, and he'll be facing our old friend Jose Quintana, who pitched for the Cardinals in the 22 playoffs. He'll go up against Fetty today at Busch Stadium. Again, it's a 1:15 start, pregame at 12:20. Today, we will remember Walt Jocketty, the general manager for the Cardinals from 1994 to 2007. He was a wonderful man, and we are going to pay tribute to him, not only for all of the things that he did for the franchise, making trades, signing free agents, getting this team in place to have a resurgence as they did under Bill DeWitt's watch for many years, and that was handed off to John Mozeliak after Walt was relieved of his duties in 2007. But Walt Jocketty was a wonderful man, a great person to be around, and you'll hear tributes from Ron Jacober coming up here in just a few minutes, from Doug Feldman, who is a writer who has spent some time around him, Reds and Cardinals, from John Mozeliak, who was the second man in charge with Walt for a number of years, and Bernie Miklas, who covered the Cardinals during those Walt Jocketty years of success. That's all coming up here on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We're also joined by Blue CEO Chris Zimmerman and Lutz Pfannenstiel, sporting director for City. So we have a lot to do. Battle Hawks won yesterday over Michigan. We'll hear about them and the NFL draft, which got just way too much attention, I think. I mean, just enough already. Goodness gracious. All right, we'll talk about that coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. But coming up next, our visit with former host of this show, Ron Jacober. I can't wait to talk to him. And under these circumstances, though, it is very difficult, as we were both very close with Walt. That is coming up next on KMOX. Welcome back to the show. We are joined now by former host of Sports on a Sunday Morning, longtime host, St. Louis media, Missouri sports, Hall of Famer, Missouri broadcasters, Hall of Famer, Ron Jacober. In fact, he's going to be inducted in the Missouri Broadcasters here shortly, Ron. And it is great to be with you, as always, on KMOX. But under these circumstances, it's tough. The news of Walt Jocketty's passing hurt on many levels.
Yeah, it really is, Tom. I was there Sunday morning.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects to the
strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
For 25 years, so I know what you're going through. Yeah, I was shocked with the announcement of the death of Walt Jocketty. Of all the baseball people I interviewed over the years and had a relationship with, he was one of my all-time favorites for a variety of reasons. First of all, he's very approachable. Secondly, he was always very honest and straightforward. We had a pretty good relationship as a media guy and a front office guy. But I was very fond of him because I felt that he had a great eye for talent in baseball. And for the people that may not remember, he made trades that acquired people like Mark McGwire and Scott Rolen, Larry Walker, Chris Carpenter, Jim Edmonds. And he made one very controversial trade with Atlanta, sending an outfielder named J.D. Drew, who was an outstanding young prospect, to Atlanta for three pitchers. And one of those pitchers was in the minor leagues, and his name was Adam Wainwright. I mean, Walt, I thought, had a great eye for talent. His problem was he didn't buy into the analytics business, and that led to his dismissal as the Cardinals general manager after a number of years. But I really liked Walt. I thought he was very straightforward. He told me one time, the way you ask me questions, I'm answering things I'm not sure I want to answer. But we had a good relationship on the air and really privately too. He would go off the record with me, Tom, at times, so I would have an idea or an understanding of what was going on, because I guess he trusted that I would not use that in an inappropriate way.
Ron, he treated you and KMOX in such a kind and professional way. I mean, just classy in everything that he did. And I can remember the first time that I stepped foot into KMOX to work was in August of 1997. I was working for you as your producer, and one of my tasks was to get Walt Jocketty on the phone. And boy, he couldn't have treated me nicer, and I was an absolute nobody. I mean, that's how he treated everybody.
Yeah, he was that way. He really was a genuine human being. And a very, very smart baseball man. But he got into that analytics problem with the Cardinals and Cardinal ownership and management. They just totally disagreed. But he went to Cincinnati after that. But I thought he was a brilliant baseball man. I really did. He had a great eye for talent. He believed that the way he made trades, and he, of course, consulted his scouts and coaches in the minor leagues especially, but he analyzed players the way he wanted to analyze them rather than through a bunch of numbers. And he hated that analytics thing because he felt they were dealing with just statistical information rather than human beings and good baseball players. So he was, I thought he was terrific. And I was sad to see that he died. Apparently he had a lung transplant some time ago, and it just didn't work, and he wound up in the hospital for a long time and died relatively young. I think he was, 72, I think, something like that.
Yeah, 74. But, it was really hard for people when they heard that news because, you know, it was not as well known that he was battling an illness. And here we talk about it now, you know, eventually we celebrate his life, but it's hard right now to sit here and know that Walt Jocketty is gone. Ron, can you take me back to those? It predates me. I started, as I mentioned, in 97, but in 94, 95, as the new ownership was taking over and trying to take hold, and eventually they make the playoffs in 96, what were those times like when Walt Jocketty and eventually hiring Tony La Russa, what was that like?
Well, I think it was kind of the Cardinals had a bad decades, I guess, before that primarily, and it kind of energized the fan base when they saw what was happening. And it energized me, too, to tell you the truth, because I grew up as a Cardinal fan. But it was totally different atmosphere. And he convinced Tony La Russa this was a great place to manage and to come here and stay here. And I don't know that Tony believed him for a long time. But after Tony got here and realized what kind of a baseball city this was, he was convinced. And he convinced some of the players, like Mark McGwire, to stay in St. Louis when McGwire could have left. Jim Edmonds was another good example of players that he acquired by trade. And that when they got here, they realized what a great place this was to play baseball. That kind of energized everybody, I think, at that point. They won the division in 96, 2000, 2002, 2004, 2005, 2006. And, of course, they were in the World Series twice and won it then in 2006. And he was fired in 2007, which I've never really totally understood. I know why they brought in Jeff Lunau, and Lunau was a analytics guy, and management or ownership felt that was the way to go. And who knows, maybe it is. But Walt didn't think so, and there was a lot of acrimony at that time, and they departed the company.
But those times, as you mentioned, from 2000 to 2006 were extraordinary. I mean, the McGuire home run race, by the way, which revived baseball, yeah, along with Sammy Sosa, was also part of Jocketty's doing, and that was a circus unto itself and just an amazing time. But in 2000, you're right, Ron, I mean, he was all about star power, and he got, you know, Dave Veers, Daryl Kyle, Mike Matheny, Jim Edmonds at the end of spring training. And then I remember standing, I'm on the sideline at Rams training camp, and I look down at my phone and I've got an email that here comes Will Clark. I mean, he just had this knack for finding stars, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a great vision of what a good baseball player should be like and do. And he didn't need the numbers. He didn't need the computer. Computer was in his head, really. And he relied, of course, on certain people in the organization, scouts and some minor league folks, and who was good and who wasn't. But he was able to make those trades, and that's what made him so successful. Now, every trade was not great, of course, because it's not a perfect science. But he had an eye for great talent and guys that fit in with his ball club. And when he got La Russa here, I think that was a major, major accomplishment. But McGuire came and loved it here and stayed here. Larry Walker, Chris Carpenter, you know, those were great, wonderful acquisitions that he made. And he had that ability, had that talent. Unfortunately, you know, it didn't last all that long because of the analytics business. But he went to Cincinnati, was fairly successful there, but then wound up retiring. And I kind of lost touch with him in the last few years because I'm not working. That's probably one reason why. But I thought I had a very good relationship with him because I could call him almost any time and get him and ask him questions, not always for the air, by the way. But he was very accommodating in that regard. So I was really sad when I saw that he had died, but I knew that he had not been well. But that's a pretty young age these days, I think. At least I kind of view it as a young age. But yeah, he was a great part, and Cardinal fans should realize this, he was a great part of Cardinal history, because that was a great period of time in the Cardinal history, the 2000s, the early 2000s, and that was a genuine Cardinal history time, and while Jocketty was primarily responsible for it.
And he will be immortalized as part of Derek Gould's story today. The Cardinals ownership did tell Walt that he was going to be inducted into the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and he was actually preparing an acceptance speech as well. So he will be part of Cardinals history forever up in that Hall of Fame. Ron, speaking of Hall of Famers, before we let you go, I mean, your familiar voice on the KMOX airwaves right now, in FM, by the way, 104.1 FM, which I know
you... Yeah, I noticed that. That's good for you guys.
I agree. What do you think about that?
I think it's terrific. It's something that I know Steve Moore had hoped would happen a long time ago, but people listen to FM, so why not put it on FM, too?
What are you up to these days, Ron?
Well, just trying to stay healthy. I had a bit of a surgery, which I've recovered from. But the big deal is this Missouri Broadcasters Hall of Fame coming up at the end of May. It's the biggest award you can get in the state as a broadcaster. And Joe Buck is going in at the same time. And Jim Jackson, who belongs in broadcast heaven as the greatest remote broadcast engineer in the history of radio, I think, is also going in. I was really delighted when I saw that. Jim's a very quiet guy, but I probably worked hundreds of games with him, and every time I would show up and Jim Jackson was the engineer, I knew we were in good shape because he would keep us on the air. I saw him fix things fix equipment during a broadcast on the air because he was that good. And so delighted and good to see. It'll be good to see Joe Buck. Joe was supposed to go in last year, but he couldn't be there in person. So he said, I want to be there in person. So he's going in this year. So that'll be good to see. It's a Lake of the Ozarks. Much of my family will be there. And I'm really excited about that. I've been a bunch of Halls of Fame, but this is, to me, the big one.
Well, it is big, and it's well-deserved, Ron. I mean, you talk about somebody who's touched basically every sport in this area and beyond, going around the country, and coming back to this show and your relationship with Walt Jocketty, your interview skills were a big part of your career. Your ability to show the audience the relationship, but also to keep it professional, to ask the questions that need to be asked, to put those people on the spot, as Walt said, that's a big part of your career, Ron.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Tom, because I tell young people all the time, one of the more difficult things to do well in broadcasting, especially in radio, is good interviews. And I have a problem with a lot of universities who teach kids, young people, how to operate the equipment, but not how to do good interviews. I've always felt that I was pretty good at that, and I tried to preach that to young people all the time when I would interview them or they would interview me. So I appreciate that comment very much.
Absolutely. I learned a lot from you, and I appreciate you, and congratulations on that. And thank you for sharing some thoughts about Walt Jocketty today. We appreciate it, and we remember him today.
Tom, thank you very much. I appreciate being on.
Have a great day. Ron Jacober with us, former host of this show, Sports on a Sunday Morning, right here on KMOX. It's 10:29. When we come back, we'll be visited by Doug Feldman. The author knew Walt Jocketty and his history and also has written a book about the era right before Walt, the 1987 Cardinals. We're going to run down memory lane with Doug Feldman. Blues CEO Chris Zimmerman is on deck at 10:45, 11:15, Lutz Fan and Steel, John Mozeliak at 11:30, Bernie Miklas at 11:45 on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
It's 10:35. Doug Feldman, professor in the College of Education at Northern Kentucky University, former scout for the Reds, Mariners, and Padres, and the author of 15 books on the Cardinals and other teams and personalities from sports history, including this one. I'll hold it up to the camera. This is One More for the White Rat. The 1987 St. Louis Cardinals chase the pennant. Doug Feldman, great to have you on KMOX Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be with you again.
It's always good to be with you. We're going to talk about the 87 Cardinals in a moment, but as I mentioned, and you are an official scorer for the Cincinnati Reds and certainly have been around baseball for a long time, we were mourning the loss of Walt Jocketty. I just wanted to get your reflections on the former Cardinals and Reds general manager.
Well, yeah, Tom, Ron said it perfectly, everything perfectly a moment ago. I mean, I've never, in my lifetime, I've rarely run across someone so personally and professionally respected as Walt was. As you mentioned, I got to know him a little bit with his time in Cincinnati, and he was such, you know, what I remember about Walt specifically, he was such an active listener to everyone. I talk with him rarely, but I'd go into a room and see him sitting down with someone, and his body language, he had eye contact. You could tell he cared about people on a professional and personal level. And that's what I remember about Walt.
And, you know, to think of that run for the Cardinals, and it was a great one, and one that maybe we still enjoy to an extent, although it does feel like we've officially entered a new era. It was some run under Walt Jocketty and then John Mozeliak under the DeWitt ownership, Doug.
Absolutely. And as Ron alluded to as well, I think it's proof positive of, you know, that there's still a place for, and I'm an old scout, so I guess no surprise I'd be saying this, but there's still a place for gut. There's still a place for grit. Alongside all the great numbers we get to enjoy today, there's still a place for players to be evaluated on if they can do the job, quite simply. Pitcher for the New York Mets, Roger McDowell, once said, you know, baseball has a heartbeat. And its heartbeat means you don't know what it means unless you've been out there on the mound and holding Vince Coleman on first base how your heart starts pounding. You can't put that in the computer. And I think that's something that Walt really understood.
Doug Feldman is with us, the author of the book that I am holding, One More for the White Rat, the 1987 St. Louis Cardinals Chase the Pennant. Doug, I appreciate you asking me to give you a quote, which is on the back page of this hardcover, and it's about this season.
An exciting moment at Busch Stadium, the pitch. Swing, a half swing. The ball back to Cox. Out at first. That's the winner. The Cardinals have won the Eastern Division crown. Again. Some fans... Well, I want to tell you something, folks. At this moment, there is not... Well, there are two fans on the field. There are three. Most of the folks here, 53,000, are doing what they've been requested to do, to let the celebration take place on the field with the players, and these Cardinals deserve the division title. So again, folks, we can go crazy here in St. Louis. The Cardinals are the champions of the East.
The NL East champion, St. Louis Cardinals, in 1987. Jack Buck with that call on KMOX, Doug. And the Cardinals had been bruised by the Mets the year before. They came roaring back, didn't they, to get the job done. Wasn't easy, but they got it done.
Well, they sure did. You know, it's funny, Tom. Ricky Horton said that 87 is often forgotten by Cardinal fans in the big picture. You know, everyone loves 82, of course, and 85 was such a nice surprise with the unexpected 100 wins. But, 86, things had gone so badly that in May, the hitting had gone so badly that in May, Herzog ordered the scoreboard operator at Busch Stadium to stop posting the players' batting averages. And then in June, he even offered to resign to Guthrie Bush, which Guthrie, of course, would have nothing of it. But Whitey was afraid that they'd be the first team to win 100 games 1 year and then lose 100 the next year. So much had changed. Joaquin Andujar, of course, had been sent packing to Oakland after his World Series meltdown. Daryl Porter was not re-signed after he struggled in the World Series, and Mike Heath was brought in, and Mike LaValliere was to be paired with him as a catching solution. Jack Clark gets hurt along the way as well again. So lots of things to play through. The last 6-7 weeks of 86, things went better, but of course the Mets were so hot in 86 they couldn't be caught. So going into 87 spring training, Whitey said he had more questions about that team than any he had ever managed. He didn't know what type of player Vince Coleman was going to be long term. Sure, he had stolen 100 bases first two seasons, but he was throwing to the wrong base from left field. He was striking out a lot more at the plate. So Willie McGee was hurt. He was coming back from a knee injury from 86. Could he regain his 85 form? Could he find another RBI bat besides Jack Clark? You know, Jim Lindemann had a great spring training, and what that did, that allowed the Cardinals to move Andy Van Slyke and LaValliere to Pittsburgh for Tony Pena. But as I'm sure we'll go into here in a minute, you know, things started going up and down through the 87 season once the game started.
True. Although it was bookended, I felt, by two big home runs. Here's one of them, April 18th.
We're 8-8 in the bottom of the 10th. Off the stretch, Orozco. Here's the pitch. Swing and a long one in the left field. Way back in the corner. Grand slam! A grand slam home run by her. And that's the winner. 12-8.
Seat cushions flying through the air. What a day. What a night. And it came against the New York Mets, Doug Feldman.
Oh, gosh, Tom, I'm sitting here in Cincinnati. I'm getting goosebumps just listening to that. The seat cushions start flying, and what a night. And that was the night of Good Friday. Unfortunately, of course, on Easter Sunday afternoon, John Tudor is lost for several months. And same day, Easter Sunday, Danny Cox had been hurt in 1986. So Whitey started wondering, maybe he should... He said maybe he should lock the team up at Menard for Easter Sunday and just have Easter with the Wardens there. So. But then Tony Pena breaks his thumb, but Steve Lake fills in very well for a while. Todd Worrell struggles early on in the season as a closer, but Ricky Horton fills in very well. Jose Oquendo fills in when Tommy Herr gets hurt. It's just a, you know, an ongoing, it's just a classic Herzog year, and in my opinion, the best managerial job he ever did, because not only was he doing the usual Herzog things, but he had to do some serious rearranging of when things struck that he wasn't prepared for.
No doubt, and this one kind of summarizes all of it. And I have to skip ahead because of the interest of time, but as the Cardinals win the NL East and they beat the Giants in that classic series against Jeffrey Leonard that went seven games, the one flap down, Jeffrey Leonard circling the bases, right. And the Cardinals beat the Giants in seven, shut them out in game seven. They go to the World Series, they play the Twins, and here we are in game four, and you write, Tom Lawless, who actually struck out looking in the second inning, came to the plate once again. Despite his tiny, unimposing sum of two base hits for the entire year, Herzog could not afford to have Lawless bunt with the pitcher spot waiting behind him because the manager mm-hmm. wished to have Bob Forsch continue in the game and once again eat some necessary innings. And he went on to write, Doug Feldman does, Lawless leapt upon a Frank Viola fastball that stayed up in the strike zone.
Swing and a high fly ball to left, way back at the track. This ball may go. It's a three-run home run for Tom Lawless. That is hard to imagine. He had four hits all year. And he puts the Cardinals on top 4-1.
And that place was shaking. And the bat flip that still is talked about today, Doug Feldman, what a moment for Tom Lawless.
Incredible. And, you know, when I talk about Tom Lawless, he was right up there, believe it or not, with Ozzy and McGee and Coleman with speed. He had stolen hundreds of bases in the minor league. So you talk about a guy maybe people have forgotten, but Whitey loved Tom Lawless, and he fit right in with that team, no doubt.
What a time. And then as we finish, just your reason for writing the book and what you hope people get out of this terrific book, which is available now, One More for the White Rat.
Well, just that once again, it's kind of, I think, I agree with Rick that it's, you know, kind of a forgotten but successful piece of Cardinals history, especially from the 80s, because it was like 85 with a sorry ending at the end, very end. But when you talk about the number of people who contributed, the Kurt Fords, again, Jim Lindemann did his part, especially in the playoffs. It was really an unusual Herzog season, even as far as Whitey Herzog seasons go.
Doug, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. I hope everybody goes and gets the book. It sounds like a wonderful Father's Day gift, or even before that, One More for the White Rat by Doug Feldman. Thank you for your words on Walt Jocketty as well.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Always great to be with you. I appreciate it.
Great to visit with you on KMOX. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Blues CEO Chris Zimmerman. What a day for them. That place is already getting filled up. Enterprise Center back in a moment.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to downtown St. Louis. Just across the way, Enterprise Center getting set to host Game 4, the Blues and the Jets. And joining us is Blues President and CEO Chris Zimmerman. Chris, good morning and happy game day to you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. Nothing better than getting up and getting ready for a playoff game. And we should have a dandy, as they say, out there today.
No, oh, it was electric on Thursday, wasn't it? What are your reflections of Game 3?
Well, I will tell you, I thought Game 3 was one of the most solid games I've seen maybe in my 11 years here, and obviously we've won some big games, but it was just really every shift, every hit, we just kept coming, and that's quite an effort, and let's see what we can bring today. I think the boys are going to be ready. We've got some great home ice momentum going.
You have a great fan base. They are diehard. They love the Blues. They have, and they'll always be with you. But there was something a little extra in them on Thursday night. Now, that was a late start, no doubt about it, so they were pretty amped up, if you know what I mean. But secondly, I think the three-year absence of playoffs, you know, that energy was released into the night, if you will. Based on the Blues play, it was great too. But they were ready to go, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think it's been really, I would say, an exceptional season in the way the team played at the end of the season. And I think that some of the fan response is a bit of a reward for that, having also watched a very loud building up in Winnipeg for their whiteouts. I think St. Louis Blues fans wanted to show that we can bring it too.
What are people saying about Jim Montgomery and what he has done? I mean, obviously you have watched this up close since Doug Armstrong made the announcement, but the league has a lot of respect for Monty, don't they?
Well, yeah, I think Monty has, he has a great track record. He's, you know, he's won really every place he's gone, from college hockey to his time both in Dallas and obviously what he did in Boston. I think, you know, importantly, he has the respect of this group. He's been able to find ways to get the most out of every player. And, you know, I like to say, I'm not sure if we were going to go star to star that we line up all that great with some of the other playoff teams, but you put this group together and what they've been able to accomplish has been really just a lot of fun to watch. And I think that's also what our fans are responding to.
Everybody likes an underdog in sports, it seems like, and the Blues are an 8. Winnipeg is a 1. Winnipeg, the President's Trophy winners, and certainly they have a deep and dedicated fan base, and there are others who I'm sure have a liking to the Jets. But this Blues team starting to pick up some momentum. Have you caught these John Gruden clips of the former Super Bowl winning coach?
I have, and I thought that his performance should get an Academy Award. He is fantastic, and he played it out. He covered every error almost of Blues Hall of Famers as well as our current guys, and I think he's had over 1 million views just through the several posts he's made. So, you know, this time of year, you've always got new stories coming around, new people getting involved and engaged in, you know, what we like to say we think are the best playoffs in sports. And, yeah, it's fun to have Coach Gruden behind us as well.
He let the cat out of the bag on Twitter today. He said, "We need this today. I'm trying to come down for Game 6. So we may have a Coach Gruden sighting at Enterprise Center if you get to Game 6, which the way that you played in Game 3, it looks like you're going to get there. Chris Zimmerman is with us just for another minute. But on that note, it is a lot of fun, I'm sure, for all of you to decide what's next. Like, what else can we do to bring out the next celebrity, Chris Pronger or Brett Hull or whoever it may be, to amp up this crowd? You have a deep roster to choose from, it seems.
Well, we've certainly got an amazing alumni group who's given a lot to this organization, a lot to hockey in St. Louis. And so, I think we'll be ready with more surprises and more fun things. This building's going to be rocking when we get going in really just a little bit over an hour.
Yeah, probably a good tip, too. You might want to scan Ticketmaster just to see if anything's out there on the secondary market. There's always a deal to be had to get in that building.
Chris, I don't know about a deal for today, but there are often last-minute tickets that come back from the other team and others. So, there may still be an opportunity to be part of the fun today.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a hot ticket for sure. Chris, thank you for this. Appreciate it. Good luck today. Go get the Jets.
Thanks. We're going to have some fun.
All right. Chris Zimmerman, President and CEO of the St. Louis Blues, with us on KMOX. Always great to chat with him. We'll be back with much more after the news.